This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, this is Robert Reese, and welcome to the CEO Show. This week, you'll learn with over 500,000 listeners the secrets of success from a top CEO. No sound bites, no gotchas. Instead, you'll hear direct insights, stories, and wisdom on personal leadership and on growing your business. Unfiltered and straight from the most successful CEOs. Hope you enjoy. Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, and we're here today with Ganesh Iyer. How are you?
I'm very good, Robert. Pleasure meeting you.
And Ganesh is the CEO of Emphasis, which is called Unleashing the Next. It's a fascinating organization, a leader in IT services with about 22,000 employees, about $1 billion in revenue. But when you first joined and became CEO in 2009, it was a very different organization. Talk about the challenges you faced and your personal transformation that you went through in 2009.
Absolutely. So, 2009 January is when I joined. That was the time when global financial crisis was at its full bloom. And in that year, our company grew 45%. Obviously, that called for celebration. Our stock, which was when I joined, was at 148, started going up. And at one stage, it reached 790 rupees or so. And everybody said, you are doing fabulously well. When the entire industry is coming down, you guys are doing 45% above. But there was a realization within the company. And credit goes to the board, my leadership team, and other key members of the company. Our concentration risk was going up with our largest client. From 2006 to 2010, our entire growth for the company was coming through this single client called HP. By the end of 2010, 72% of our revenue was coming from HP. And we were doing exceedingly well. But what was the nagging problem? That our direct business had stagnated for 4 years. And you know, Robert, that when people don't exercise some muscle, that muscle starts dying. And that's exactly what happened in the company. We as a company forgot how to do direct business. Our brand vanished from the direct market. Our customers saw us as a delivery engine and not as an engine which will keep pace with them. That's why our business stagnated. And that was a realization which changed the course for this company starting 2011.
So what did you do?
First, we could have done a cosmetic change of saying, let's go and grow direct business. We did not. We did a deep surgery in the company and said, we have to grow direct business. And we realized growing direct business is not just about sales. It is about every function of the company. So we actually literally split the company into two. One focused on HP business, the other one focused on direct business. And please remember, 4 years if your business has stagnated, your competition was not standing still. We are surrounded by very, very competent players who are much larger than us, good brands, good service, and they had progressed in 4 years. And here we are, 4 years, the muscle has not been exercised. So we had to figure out a way where we can somehow gain back that 4 years by not imitating our competition, but by changing the game. So this entire industry focused on scale. We chose the path of specialization or hyper-specialization. We had spread ourselves across 16 countries by having sales presence. We were investing in vertical solution across 8 different industry verticals. We said, nope, time out. Let's focus on just 5 countries and invest in just 3 verticals. We chose banking, capital market, insurance for verticalization. And that was the DNA of the company. And that's how the story began. In many ways, the investor community was actually shocked that we were choosing this path. when we are financially doing well, why are you shrinking your focus on countries in terms of direct sales force? But as now we look back, if we hadn't done that, this company would have vanished. I'm glad together with my board and rest of my leadership we made that choice. The journey was very tough, I must tell you, but it is worth every penny that we have experienced.
This is Robert Reese on the CEO Show. We interview the CEOs who have reinvented the fabric of America. We're here with Ganesh Iyer, and he is the CEO of Emphasis. And I got all choked up from your story. But here's what the hundreds of thousands of CEO listeners should say. If you're wondering about your business, sometimes hyper-specialization seems like the worst move, but it could be the answer to everything. But now I want to move forward. So then in going through this, you built the foundation. But all of a sudden, one day, you see 27% of your stock market share vanish. Talk about what happened and what your approach was to that.
See, what happened was our stock had built up because we were doing financially very well. And in I remember the 2011 first quarter, we announced the result. After a long time, HP business declined. HP was our largest client, and it had declined. And we had announced our strategy of focusing more on direct and going through hyper-specialization. Market said, uh-oh, something is wrong. And they were more focused on scale, and they said, boom, and our stock got hit 27% in one day. Not many listed company CEOs survive 27% fall in one day. Credit goes, honestly, to my board, because they knew what we were trying to do. They were not expecting one quarter wonder. They were committed to it, and they said, we have to grow our direct, and we cannot play the same game as your competition. You have to find your own way. Let's go through this very first quarter after announcing the result. Whatever has happened has happened. Obviously, nobody liked it, but the fact is, we were willing to pay that price in order to continue on the journey. And that was sometime in February 2011, if I remember it right. I made it to the front page of the biggest business daily, what my marketing department couldn't do to get me on the first page and front page headline, that they did it, right? So something which is etched in my memory.
Well, let's talk about now you built a company and you have a really strong team and market leadership. What are some of the lessons you learned after going through something like losing 27%?
See, first lesson, which is, in my view, a positive lesson, is CEOs should not react to daily variations of stock price. Because our job is to create...
Even 27% in one day.
No, I mean, you have to learn from it. But, you know, if you start reacting and changing and dancing to the tune of everyday changes, then I think what you're going to do is you're not going to build a sustainable enterprise. Our role here is not to produce overnight magic for our shareholders. Our role here is to produce superlative returns on sustained basis for our shareholders. That is our role, not daily, speculators coming and making money out of it or whatever. Second lesson which I have learned is when you set out on a course of transformation, most of the people spend enormous amount of time on the physical transformation of the company. What should be the right structure? Who should report to whom? What should be the right incentive schemes? Let me tell you, that is the easier bit. It is an easier choice to make. Maybe you will make wrong choices, but it's an easier choice. What is more difficult is chemical transformation of the company. How do you rewire the people, the leadership talent, the culture, the business processes, which is aligned with your strategy and culture? That's a difficult one, and that cannot be done overnight. So there are certain things where we have to display patience and commitment, and we need to keep traveling.
So talk about cultural. What are some specific things that you do, practices, to build the culture?
So, Robert, this is an interesting this thing. And now I'm moving straight away to 2015 and 2016.
And you only have 1 minute before commercial break.
Absolutely. See, if you study digital enterprises, pure play digital enterprises, they display two things. One is continuous innovation. Second is compression of time. So you have to have cultural markers which make you effective in competing pure play digital enterprises, because they are going to take away your customers. And I will talk about the break, about the four cultural markers which we built and how we are immersing the organization into those four cultural markers.
Can you just give us a sense of what those are? You've got 30 seconds left.
Okay, four cultural markers. Culture of experimentation, culture of empowerment, customer centricity, and outcome focused. These are the four cultural markers.
This is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, and we're speaking with Ganesh Iyer, who is the CEO of Emphasis. This is an organization almost $1 billion with about 22,000 employees, and they do specialization in the area of banking, of
capital markets,
of insurance. And we're about to hear, when we come back from break, the four markers of a great culture. Back in a few.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Piedmont attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Back to the music in a minute, but first I've got a special free giveaway. I've got 100 free trials of the Belly Flattening Breakthrough Newbiotics here, and I've been authorized to give them away to the station's first 100 callers right now. So if you want to see what you'd look like with a flatter belly, call now. Don't even wait till I stop talking. Only one free trial per caller, though. Don't be greedy. Okay, here's the number. 1-800-983-5628. I'm guessing it works pretty fast because it says here that if your belly flattening results are too dramatic, you're supposed to reduce use to every other day. And it looks like it's made from natural ingredients, too, scientifically formulated to cleanse pounds of toxic sludge from your body. Okay, this is it. If you want a flatter belly, be one of the first 100 callers right now to claim one of these free trials. 1-800-983-5628. If lines are busy, try again. 1-800-983-5628. Call now for details. 1-800-983-5628.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, and we're here today with Ganesh Iyer, who is the CEO of Emphasis. And we're talking about an organization of 22,000 people, and you've talked about four cultural markers you use to advance your organization. Please share those.
So let me deal into two areas first. First is experimentation. Everybody talks about innovation. Innovation is an outcome of experimentation. So if you want your company to continuously innovate, you have to build a culture of experimentation. And in order for you to build a culture of experimentation...
And by the way, we're doing this interview in New York City, if anyone can't hear. Even though we're on a high floor, keep going talking about experimentation.
Sure. So, when you build a culture of experimentation, you also need to learn the art of celebrating failures.
Mm.
Now, if you understand India, how the focus is on academic excellence, society does not tolerate failure well. We had to start building the culture of experimentation by promoting the concept, keep trying, and responsible failures will be celebrated in this company. So that's experimentation, because we hope that we can bring those little innovations that will benefit our clients. Those little innovations which are hidden in our people. So there is nobody has monopoly on innovation. Everybody can innovate, and we want to tap onto it. Second is empowerment. Only when you empower people, they will start making decisions. We don't want somebody just taking orders. We also want thinking, knowledgeable, inquisitive minds who are fueling our company. So we have done some simple things at certain level experiment. For example, if you have a reimbursement, nobody approves. Mm-hmm. Which is pilot, it's paid. And when we do sample audit, if somebody has been unethical, just get fired. So that's the second. And third and fourth is obvious, outcome focus and customer centricity. We are a small company. We want to have a soul and smile of a small company. And that has to be experienced by our customers. And that is our mainstay. So these are the four cultural markers of the company.
And I know you also have unique things, like you do cognitive internal.
Yeah.
And you have 90-day plans. So just give a sense of what some of those ideas are.
I was very fascinated with what the world of cognitive can bring to the field of services. And obviously, we are working with our clients to be in the path of relevance. But at the same time, I was very curious to see how, as a services company, we can be different. And so we have a very capable young individual who joined our executive committee as the chief data officer. Her role is not just data. It is about how do you leverage data to fundamentally change the way we work and become relevant to our clients. So the first project, and she has 90 days. Any project which exceeds 90 days will not
be. You hear that? 90 days, that's the right time, right?
Right. Within 90 days, you produce the output.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you can't produce it in 90 days, don't take that project up. That's the basic philosophy. So she undertook the project. She created an artificial intelligence-based, pattern-recognizing, self-learning system which predicts whether we are going to win the deal or lose the deal. And multiple variables are at play, and we looked at last 2 years of data and applied it. The accuracy rate is more than 85%.
Really?
Yeah, and it keeps learning, right? So the accuracy rate will improve. And what it has done is salespeople now say, the system is wrong. How can you say I'm going to lose this deal? I'm going to make sure
I proved them wrong. That's the spirit I want. Why would I complain, right? So, but we have changed our governance mechanism as a result. How do we look at those deals where it is predicting that we are going to lose? And we look at those deals which predicts that we are going to win. We don't take it for granted in both cases, but we have a horses for courses. One for which where it is predicting we are going to win, another one for where it's going to lose. We are going to lose.
That's fascinating what you've done internally. Let's talk about externally. You specialize in capital markets, banking, insurance. What's happening in those fields, and what's an example of something exciting that you're doing?
See, you know, whether you are a bank, insurance company, or you're a capital market player, every industry is, the digital revolution is sweeping all the industries. You are seeing new types of players entering. Piranhas have appeared who are nibbling and slowly taking away your customers from the bottom. And will you take them seriously? So, whether you look at the field of payments, it's changing so rapidly. It's unbelievable, right? I don't want to single out any particular player, but traditional methods of payments are, you know, falling by the wayside. Millennials don't use them anymore. So if you are in payments business as a bank, would you look at newer models? And is it just an adoption of technology that will do? You have to re-architect the entire fabric of the payment team that you have, payment company that you may have, in order to be successful. In insurance, I mean, take auto insurance. What was the basis of auto insurance? The driver's behavior was the basis of saying whether the age, you know, past pattern. The moment we have autonomous cars, what are you going to insure? There is no driver. So suddenly the whole world is going to change. So, you know, we can keep going, but I can tell you that almost all the clients of mine, and I get to interact with CEOs and CXOs, this is top of the mind. What is happening in the digital space? They are thinking whether they should have a parallel brand. So there is tremendous recognition of what's happening in the world, and also a commitment to be successful, right? And this is a fascinating story. But I have one more point to add, that if you want to compete with pure play digital, it is not just about offering. It is also about what is the enterprise, what's the culture, what is the business process, what is the organizational model. It goes deeper, and it goes even further. Is the CEO rewired, ready to compete in this world? I have gone through some personal journey myself, because I grew up in analog world, believing in hierarchy, coming up through rank and file, having good bosses who helped me. But that has been my upbringing. That is my habit. Now, how do I give up that habit and rebuild new muscles? And I won't say that I have arrived, but I am putting tremendous focus personally to see how can I transform myself so I can lead my company to be relevant in this digital era.
What advice do you have to CEOs on how they can capitalize on a world of digital disruption?
I think first is recognition. You have to recognize that you have to transform. It is not enough to direct the organization to transform and expect that you will be successful in digital. So first is recognition. Second is you have to go and make yourself vulnerable. Only when you are vulnerable, you learn more.
That's a fascinating concept.
Right? You have to, because when we become a CEO, we carry the image of the company with us. We are very, very careful that we shouldn't be seen as a failure. Because
so you're saying the CEO themselves should make themselves vulnerable?
Absolutely. They should be vulnerable to sit with a youngster and having a conversation, allowing them to be a reverse mentor. They should sit with other industry players who have shown self-transformation. There are various places where one can learn from, but the story starts with self.
And so what we're hearing about is a self-transformation for everyone. We're hearing you may need to hyper-specialize. And when you're transforming an organization, don't think of the physical transformation. Think of the chemical transformation. Great having you on the CEO show.
Thank you so much.
How confident are you in your food storage? If it was all you had to rely on, would it sustain your family? Hard times, good times, or any time, New Mana Storable Food is the proven superior choice. Learn for yourself what happened when one man ate only New Mana Storable Food for an entire month. online at powerprepper.com. That's powerprepper.com. Experience the new manna difference.
America made food stores are allowed to eat. Yum!
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Has neck, back, or shoulder pain got you down? Go to sunshine-pillows.com and get soothing comfort, support, and pain relief fast. Their microwavable heat therapy pillows and wraps treat neck and shoulder pain, reduce stress, and relax the soul. An ergonomic pillow from Sunshine Pillow supports your head and neck on long trips or when simply resting at home. Be good to yourself. Visit sunshine-pillows.com. Sunshine-pillows.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Investment Rarities, a 43-year-old company, has created the best silver offer ever. Get a U.S. Silver Eagle, Canadian Maple Leaf, Austrian Philharmonic, OPM Pierre Bar, and Silver Round. Have all five for $99 postpaid. You heard me right, 5 ounces of silver below cost. No credit card fees, free shipping. Just $99 and you'll have a great start on what it takes to survive even the worst economic storm. Act now and receive Jim Cook's exclusive paper explaining how it's possible to make a fortune in silver today. Don't miss this opportunity. Call 800-328-1860. Read how the above-ground supply of silver has dropped below even gold. The secret is being suppressed. The price could explode at any time. Call today at 800-328-1860. Get 5 ounces of silver for only $99. Find them on the web at investmentrarities.com or call 800-328-1860. Call now before it's too late. 800-328-1860.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, and we are here today with Marianne Liebert. How are you, Marianne?
I'm good and ready to go.
And Marianne is the founder and CEO of Marianne Liebert, Inc. Publishing, which is the world's largest, most important privately held publisher of scientific, medical, and technical journals. Could you first tell everyone, what does that mean? What is a scientific, a medical, or technical journal?
Our journals are peer-reviewed. That means that the published papers in these journals are written by scientists and clinicians in the field. They are peer-reviewed by others to make sure that they are scientifically correct and relevant. And that's very important, because you need to have that to know that these advances and these treatments are going to indeed be used effectively when they go from bench to bedside.
And today you publish 80 different scientific journals. But in the beginning, when you started back in 1980, that wasn't that much of a field, except for a couple of major corporations.
Right.
What inspired you to do this?
I wanted to make a difference. And I could see that biotechnology, it was a sexy new field in life sciences. And I could see that the tools in biotechnology were going to provide new ways of providing new therapeutics, diagnostics and therapeutics, drug discovery and drug delivery, and that was going to translate, again, from bench to bedside. This was very important to me, very exciting to me, to be able to help that to move forward.
And you were a little bit inspired by your dad, I understand,
I was
with
very
his Parkinson's.
Much. My dad had Parkinson's, and this was in the 60s, and nobody had ever heard of Parkinson's, by the way. It was like an orphan disease where I grew up in Chicago. And I was determined, I did an internship at JAMA, and I was sure that somewhere in the literature I was going to find, if not a cure, at least an effective treatment for my dad. Sadly, that was not the case, but it ignited my interest in medical publishing, and I would say that that had an extraordinary impact on what I wanted to do.
But you didn't have a medical background.
No.
How do you go into medical publishing? You knew, we have hundreds of thousands of listeners who are entrepreneurs. They're saying there's an opportunity here. How do I go into it? I need a background. You had no background. You saw an opportunity, a need, a growing need in medical publishing, but you didn't even have a medical background.
I didn't, but I had a publishing background.
Okay.
I had a publishing background. I worked for another company beforehand, mm-hmm. and I learned publishing. And it was more important as a medical publisher to be knowledgeable about publishing and to get the medical expertise from the experts in their field. Now, my husband will tell you that I'm an armchair diagnostician, which he absolutely abhors, but I do limit my specialty. So I try not to give advice to him when he's taking care of patients. So instead, he says, I should stick to my own knitting, which is publishing authoritative journals and not trying to be in practice with him.
And you actually, one of the few people you had two husbands who had the same exact name.
That's
and
they're
both doctors.
That is correct.
Yes.
One is an OBGYN and the other is a pediatric surgeon.
You know, and I look, there are no geriatric doctors named Peter Liebert, so you're safe. You're with this one for good.
Well, that is true, but there are other Peter Lieberts out there. However, with my record, I think I'm going to just not explore that possibility, because you never know.
Let's go into the whole process of what it means to build a medical journal. So okay. Now you see a need in an area. Now you've 80 that are running every year. But let's say you see a new idea, which you come up with all the time,
as you told me.
What is the process, like step one, step two? What are the different steps to get an actual journal done?
Once an idea comes to me, it comes and sits on my shoulder. And once it sits on my shoulder, I have to move on it. Now, the first thing I do, I'm very well connected and I'm very well read. I'm a voracious reader and I have a curiosity level that is off the charts. I can understand mountain climbing. In fact, when the film had come out, Into Thin Air,
mm-hmm.
I saw the film and I started reading every book on mountain climbing, every book. And Peter said to me, my husband said to me, why are you reading all this? You don't even trek, let alone mountain climb. And I said, because I understand that mentality. I understand the need to summit. I understand these people. And while I am not going to climb a mountain, I'm going to do something better. I'm going to start a journal on high altitude medicine and biology.
Wow.
And so I did. And I called around and I found who was the best physiologist in this field. I learned, for instance, that reproductive health is different at high altitudes and that there are other problems that affect people's health at high altitudes. And I said, I'm going to do a journal in this field. So I found this editor, and I persuaded him with many calls and great intentions and great enthusiasm to take on the editorship of this journal. Now, he is somebody who is summited, so I loved that. And he is a physiologist. And, in fact, when he went to I knew I was never going to go to Everest, but I did say to him that when you go back there, would you bring me back a stone? I would like a stone. And I had a stone from a mountain near Everest, because at that time he was no longer scaling Everest. But I met, and I was amazed, by the way, at how many medical researchers are involved in mountain climbing. I did not know.
So you emerge this whole new idea, and then your first step is to immerse yourself in all the knowledge, meet the people, speak with the people, and then identify the key editor.
Okay.
Once you have the key editor, do they run with it?
Yes, yes. They run with it with our help. But mm-hmm. in this case, I was inspired not to start a new journal. It was seeing that film and reading all these books about climbers. I was so excited about it, and I wanted to be part of this community because I understood.
Don't tell me you then climbed.
I have pictures of myself at Joshua Tree where I said to Peter, please get down on the ground and shoot upward, and I'm going to put my foot up on a big boulder and I'm going to say I am a climber too. So I do have those pictures, but no, I do not climb. As I said, I do not trek. I am not the person that you would want on your tennis team or your golf team, because I do not have those skills. However, publishing is my game, and I play fast and hard.
This is Robert Reese on the CEO Show. We interview the CEOs who've reinvented the fabric of America. We're here today with Marianne Liebert, who is the founder and CEO of Marianne Liebert, Inc. Publishing. Now, let's take from the perspective of someone who has an idea for a new publication. What types of people listening in could have ideas for publications that you might even do a medical, technical, or scientific journal?
I will not publish poetry.
Mm-hmm.
That's my only absolute. But if you have an idea that you think, I just got an idea, one of somebody gave me an idea the other day for something I never thought about. And it's interesting. And I said, let me explore it more with you. Will a journal emanate out of that? I'm not sure. I'm not sure because I'm not sure there's going to be enough research that's going to mean enough papers. It's got to be a field that has activity in it and that has promise to grow and advance.
Mm. And I know today, in full disclosure, we're in your headquarters in New Rochelle, New York, and you had a team here, and I met some of them. They've worked together for a long time, and they look so happy. It was like a second family.
Well, it is. I always say that I leave my family at home in the morning, and I come to my family at the office. That's how I feel about this group.
So you have right now 80 publications.
Right.
And it's growing. How do you actually manage a publication? So now you have a publication that's been started. You found the editor. What is the process to keep that publication going?
The process is that you must have a very good team to support your efforts, that understands your philosophy, and is dedicated to growing that journal with you. They have to be in constant touch with your editors-in-chief and members of the editorial board. They have to understand also who's the end user. Who is going to be reading these papers, and are we providing them with information that is significant?
And in all fairness, you are actually an integrated company.
Yes,
we have about a minute till break, but just explain what that is.
Not only do we publish, but we give major conferences. Next year we are celebrating our 25th anniversary of the Congress on Women's Health, which is the most important Congress in the field of women's health. We've been doing it for 25 years.
This is Robert Reese on the CEO Show with Marion Liebert, and we're talking about publishing and technical publishing. We're taking a break now, but when we come back, you are going to hear someone who shouldn't be on your tennis or golf team, but they should be on your publishing team, and who has chutzpah, because she cold called Bill Clinton, and you're going to hear that story when we come back from break.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
My name is Lee and I'm 41. I've been using One World Wave for 2.5 years now. I suffered a bulged L4 and L5 disc from a car accident 3 years ago, and since that time I've been unable to walk long distances, do any minor lifting, or just normal activities with my children without having severe back pain. Since I've started using One World Way, I've been able to walk more, engage in activities with my children, and have less lower back pain. One World Way has helped me regain back my strength, confidence, and have a healthier life. I've noticed a weight loss of about 20 pounds, my A1C dropped 2 points, and I have more energy now. One World Way has helped me regain back my life.
The results for clients on One World Way have surpassed the results for most any other supplements as well as all other whey protein powders. One World Whey is non-denatured and frequency encoded. We believe the frequency encoding increases your body's production of glutathione and energy production. Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
This is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, and we're here today with Marianne Liebert, and she is the founder and CEO of Marianne Liebert, Inc. Publishing. And first, before we tell a story, which I promised during the break, the interesting thing is it has your name in it, Marianne Link, and you told me a really interesting sort of logo, slogan that you have. Explain why that's important.
Because in all the other publishers today, the founders no longer exist. And there is a Marianne Liebert at Marianne Liebert, Inc., and that makes a difference. I thought about that last year. That was my slogan. I came up with it, and I took a picture of myself, and I run it, and I promote it, because I want people to understand how important it is to be able to connect with somebody like myself. If you are running a company like mine, I want to encourage you to connect, and I want to show you that you have a better opportunity with us than with a company that does not have somebody anymore at the helm who is as engaged with the company's growth and contribution as I am.
So probably to any hospital, anyone in scientific fields, technology fields, these important, serious fields, these are opportunities for them to increase their branding, increase their research, create new revenue streams, perhaps.
And to create their funding.
Mm.
And today, you know, research funding, which has always been scarce, is scarcer than ever. And the journal makes a contribution to a field. It shows the field's relevance. And that's important today to attract funding, both from the public and private sector.
So now let's go into the question. You did work with Bill Clinton,
and you
didn't know Bill Clinton
at
all, and you somehow got to Bill Clinton and created something. Walk through that story.
Well, I had met his wife, and I had actually met his wife. I had interviewed his wife. I had had dinner with his wife, and I knew that Bill Clinton was very involved at that time in talking about AIDS. He was talking about the need to treat and cure AIDS. So I called up his office, and I said, look, we have the most important publication in this field. We started this publication long before it was a threat to public health. I want to come and interview you on the subject of AIDS, and we will publish that in one of our journals. But I will do the interview personally because I want it, and I felt that was important. I don't always do the interviews personally. In fact, I never do. But I thought it was important because knowing this president, you had to be able to take control of the interview.
How did you take control? What was the interview like?
Well, the interview was wonderful. We had it on in his office, and I asked him questions, and he answered these questions. And, you know, he speaks in monographs, so it was important to be able to get the questions in that you wanted answered. And I was very good at that. And in fact, his aides had said that I would have 20 minutes with him. And at the end of that 20 minutes, we were really on a roll because by now I was discussing biotechnology and its contribution to AIDS research. And when his assistant came in and said, you know, the time is up, he said, no, let her keep going. And I knew then that we had a magic moment. And he was talking about how only government funds medical research and therefore, you know, about why the pharmaceutical companies were charging so much and that they weren't really doing anything for biomedical research. And I said, no, Mr. President, that's not the case. I said, the private industry has contributed significantly to research efforts and fund efforts at academic institutions. And he said, are you sure about that? And I said, Mr. President, do you think that I would interrupt arguably the most famous person in the entire free world if I weren't sure about what I were saying? And I said, I am sure.
So you're doing truly this important work on critical issues. What,
yes.
What really drives you?
I don't know that I'm personally driven. I'm personally driven to make a difference. I want to make a difference. I want to ensure that in my field, I want to ensure that there is better patient care. And research is where it all begins, biomedical research. And I was lucky to have as a mentor and friend the late Mary Lasker. Nobody today, even young scientists, never heard of Mary Lasker and what the Lasker Foundation and what Mary Lasker herself did for biomedical research in the NIH. And she came to the very first meeting I had for my first journal on interferon research. That was a very important time because interferon was so hot that the magazines had cover stories that said the if in interferon. And the rumor was that if you rubbed a little interferon on stocks, the stocks would go up because the companies were so hot. And I learned a lot from her about how to help get support for biomedical research. And because I believe in biomedical research and what it means, hopefully, for advances in new treatments for major diseases like Parkinson's or Alzheimer's or AIDS still.
Let me ask you, what advice do you have to any entrepreneur in growing a business? You've obviously been very successful.
I think the first piece of advice I would give is think very hard about how your corporate structure and who your stockholders should be, if any, and who they should not be, if any. That's a very important decision, and I don't think we think about that when we're starting a business. I don't think that entrepreneurs think enough about that structure, which is very important and has implications many years down the line, both in terms of how you manage the company, in terms of how your revenue stream is driven, and if you ever want to have an exit strategy, or can that person influence your exit strategy?
You have a fantastic culture. Everyone stays here for years and years, but you told me the key of it was you have this unique way of interviewing people, and you actually gave me that test. Just talk about the screening and about your culture, and you only have 1 minute left.
If this is a publishing company, you got to have good skills in terms of spelling and in terms of grammar if you want to work in a publishing company. But you've got to have something else. You've got to have chemistry. Everything is about chemistry, whether it's with a partner in life or whether it's the company. And this business, my staff understands chemistry.
Mm. The future of Marianne Liebert, Inc. Publishing, what is it?
This is going to remain a privately held company that I hold. There is one small stockholder, which is my son, who worked here for 10 years. And it's interesting to know that he left because after being here 10 years, he was ready to be a CEO. I was not ready to step down. And I said, you know, Lewis, you must feel a little bit like Prince Charles. You must have empathy for Prince Charles because like his mother, your mother isn't abdicating either. So Lewis is now off on his own. And we have a very wonderful relationship.
Well, a pleasure having you on the CEO show.
Thank you very much, Rob. I'm delighted to be here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.